Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with John Flavel's The Mystery of Providence. And we're still in an overall part three application of the Doctrine of Providence. And last time, we actually finished chapter 12, which was called Practical Problems in Connection with Providence. And the point we did was the question, how may a Christian work his heart into resignation to the will of God when sad providences approach him and forebode great troubles and afflictions coming on toward him? And again, that brought us up to the end of chapter 12 and up to chapter 13, which actually is the final chapter of the book. It's very short, but we're planning on going ahead and proceeding with it for this reading and taking us to the end of the book, Lord willing. And I will go ahead and start. Chapter 13, The Advantages of Recording Our Experiences of Providence. Mr. Flavel says, in consideration of the great and manifold advantages resulting from a humble and careful observation of providence, I cannot but judge it the concern of Christians that have time and ability for such a work to keep written memorials or journals of providence by them for their own and others' use and benefit. For want of collecting or lack of collecting and communicating such observations, not only ourselves, but the Church of God is greatly impoverished. Some say the art of medicine was acquired and perfected thus, when anyone had met with some rare medicinal herb and accidentally discovered the virtues of it, he would post it up in some public place, and so the physician attained his skill by a collection of those posted experiments and recipes. I am not for posting up all that a Christian knows or meets with in his experience, for, as I have said before, religion does not lay all open. Yet, there is a prudent, humble, and seasonable communication of our experiences and observations of providence, which is exceeding beneficial both to ourselves and our brethren. If Christians in reading the scriptures would judiciously collect and record the providences they shall meet with there, and, if destitute of other helps, but add those that have fallen out in their own time and experience, oh, what a precious treasure would these make! What an antidote would it be to their souls against the spreading atheism of these days, and satisfy them beyond what many other arguments can do, that the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God, 1 Kings 18, verse 39. Whilst this work was under my hand, I was both delighted and assisted by a pious and useful essay of an unknown author who has, to very good purpose, used many scriptural passages of providence which seem to lie out of the road of common observation. Some passages I have noted out of it which have been sweet to me. Oh, that Christians would everywhere set themselves to such work! Providence carries our lives, liberties, and concerns in its hand every moment. And he uses neuter form pronoun to refer to providence, saying it, even though providence, he recognizes, comes from God, but he just chooses to use the neuter pronoun. So our lives, liberties, and concerns in its hand every moment. Your bread is in its cupboard. Your money in its purse, your safety in its enfolding arms, and surely it is the least part of what you owe to record the favors you receive at its hands. Do not trust your slippery memories with such a multitude of remarkable passages of providence as you have, and shall meet with in your way to heaven. It is true, things that greatly affect us are not easily forgotten by us, and yet how ordinary is it for new impressions to raise out former ones? It was a saying of that worthy man, Dr. Harris, quote, "My memory never failed me in all my life, for indeed I durst never trust it," end quote. Written memorials secure us against that hazard, and besides, make them useful to others when we are gone, so that you do not carry away all your treasure to heaven with you, but leave these choice legacies to your surviving friends. Certainly, it were not so great a loss to lose your silver, your goods and chattels, as it is to lose your experiences, which God has this way given you in this world. Take heed of clasping up those rich treasures in a book and thinking it enough to have noted them there, but have frequent recourse to them as oft as new needs, fears, and difficulties arise and assault you. Now it is seasonable to consider and reflect, was I never so distressed before? Is this the first plunge that ever befell me? Let me consider the days of old, the years of ancient times, as Asaph did in Psalm 77, verse 5. Beware of slighting former straits or difficulties and dangers in comparison with present ones. That which is next to us always appears greatest to us, and as time removes us farther and farther from our former mercies or dangers, so they grow less in our eyes, just as the land does from those who sail. Know that your dangers have been as great, and your fears no less formerly than now. Make it as much your business to preserve the sense and value as the memory of former providences, and the fruit will be sweet to you. All right, and that brings us to the end of chapter 13 and the end of the book. And we hope that this has been a blessing to you and that the Lord would continue to bless you with it. And now go seeking God for that complete trust in Him as your God, and may He grant us, we resign our wills to His. And if you do not have God as your God, we pray you seek Him this day, that he would be your God through Christ Jesus, and that He indeed would bring you to salvation through the atoning work of the Lord Christ. May He guide your studies, and may His graces and mercies be with you.